This is the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and joining me now is a true renaissance man, in addition to being an athlete as well as an advocate for wellness and education. He is also a baseball awards presenter. He is also a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father. And as I mentioned, he's an author as well, and a swell dresser, and goes skiing, but we're not ready for skiing just yet. We're getting closer, if you think about it. We're going to be inching closer and closer to ski season, little by little. But let's enjoy what we have right now, which is called not ski season. A baseball awards presenter, also Eddie Papowski's number one fan. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Great, and I love to ski, so you're getting me excited. Last few weekends, I've been in Vermont, and the trees have definitely turned, which means ski season isn't too far away. So it's actually relevant for today's guest, Jamie Bernard, who's the vice president for Pemigewasset Valley Search and Rescue. And of course, he's also a physical therapist, and actually met him through mountain running. So Jamie, thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be here.
So I think while certainly I'm familiar with all your great work, I think if you could spend some time for our listening audience and tell us about your background, about yourself, you're a physical therapist, of course, and how you got involved with the New Hampshire Search and Rescue.
Yeah, I'm actually originally a Mass native and moved up. Yeah, hey, don't hold it against me. Moved up about 7 years ago with my wife, and we were chasing the mountains. We were up here all the time hiking, and decided to take the plunge and get a little closer to the activity that we love the most, and that's hiking. And once we got up here, I just became aware of the search and rescue activities throughout the region through posts on Facebook and just local media. And I really became intrigued with that. And just like, who are these amazing people out there just helping people 24/7? And looked into it myself and ended up joining, and the rest is history, I suppose. But yeah.
So how does one train or, and you volunteered, of course, but there's probably some prerequisites. So tell us how you train for it and how you get, if you will, credentials so you can be an official rescue person.
Well, I mean, a lot of our members are generally outdoor enthusiasts. A large, sizable amount of hikers in general, trail runners. And what we do is have a season of qualification. So we have three qualifying hikes a year, beginning in June, ending in September, where applicants can basically send in an application with a small fee and join us for a qualifying hike, which looks at their preparedness, their physical stamina and whatnot. And as the president likes to say, their ability to play in the sandbox.
So, get along with others. Always.
Yeah, exactly. So after that, you're more or less accepted into the group. The board, there's a board decision and a vote, and the captain of the team makes a recommendation, and you're in, you know. So it's pretty easy to get in. It's up to you to get booted, I suppose, if you're not active or for whatever other reasons that can pop up. But yeah.
Great. And the website is PEMISAR, PEMISAR.org.
Yes.
So
that's right.
What are the geographies? What's your catchment area that, you know, that you serve?
Well, you know, all the teams in New Hampshire are generally mutual aid. So if there's a call that's necessary on the other side of the state, we'll go. But PEMISAR is located roughly in the Pemi Valley, Franconia Notch area. So we'll respond to missions in that locale, all the way up to, say, Crawford Notch, and then south to Welch Dickey. You know, that's where you'll find us the most. But again, we can get called to, you know, Berlin, Conway, wherever, if the need is there.
I'm sure you have a lot of statistics. I want this to be database. My perception or impression is that there seems to be a lot more, at least newspaper articles about rescues and situations where the person wasn't rescued. Has there been more of that statistically, or just that we know more about it?
Speaking in terms of the team itself, our experience, we average about 30 missions a year, and those will include an occasional search, which may encompass, you know, 3 days, 5 days, and those are all, each day is incorporated as a mission. So we saw a bump up after COVID to about 30 a year, and this year we've had 18 since January, and last year was a banner year, we had 45. So I don't know, I mean, last year was somewhat of a fluke, I suppose, but in general, we're seeing about 30. Speaking to Fish and Game data, which I don't have on me at the moment, I do recall them mentioning that there has been an increase in sort of no response calls, where somebody's up on a mountain and they have a phone and they're cold or they're lost, and they'll just call and they'll be guided down. And there's also somewhat of a bump in what they call an escort, where somebody will go up, usually a fishing game officer, and actually help walk them down or just get them, give them company essentially on the way out. So yeah, sure, it's been interesting since 2020.
I'm sure that's quite comforting for the hiker that might be a little disorientated or cold, to just have a companion walking down. I'm sure that's
sure
an awesome relief.
Yeah.
So you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but how many current members, and you've described a little bit of the different kinds of missions, you know, the accompanying one that you just described, but tell us about maybe some of the more intricate, more serious, you know, missions that either you've personally assisted on or aware that one of your teammates has.
Sure. Back to the number, we currently have about 79 people that are active. And we like to keep the membership around that area because, you know, if you're dealing with 100, 200 members, it's an administrative nightmare. And then you have all these people showing up to missions that it's just a little overwhelming. But extreme weather missions come to mind, where we will be sent up, say, on top of Franconia Ridge in sub-zero weather or whiteout conditions. We'll often get called to those things, or even extreme sections of terrain that are just bushwhacks, essentially, with tight scrub and razor sharp vegetation, that type of thing. So they'll send us where and people generally don't want to go. So it does take a lot of training. We have a really robust training schedule throughout the year, where we cover winter training, low ropes, you name it, we're covering it. GPS navigation. So we try to take care of the membership that way, keep those skills fresh.
Wow. Have you, this will sound like a strange question, but have you enjoyed it in the sense that, you know, it must feel really good when you, you know, whether it's a simple accompanying someone back down, or, you know, a real rescue where you're maybe saving people's lives. There must be a good feeling around that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, for me personally, I've always lived by that whole faith without works thing. It's great to give back to the community and to help people in need. And there's plenty of it out there. That's for sure. These mountains are busy. It's always amazing to think that it's almost weekly during the summer months that somebody's out there needing assistance.
Now, we'll talk a little bit more after break about this, but I think you would agree that if there were a summer, or if there were a year where there were no rescues, while that might be disappointing because you haven't sort of activated that, the same way when I talk to EMTs before road races, and most big road races now have an EMT present, I go, you don't want any business today, right? And they all smile and they say, yep. And generally, you know, there's not a problem. But every once in a while, runner goes down. So start talking about tips for safe hiking and how to avoid being a subject of your podcast and stories in the newspaper.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind, really know your hike safe materials and the 10 essentials. You can go to hikesafe.org, I believe it is, and that's sponsored by Fish and Game and the U.S. Forest Service. So they give you tips on what to have in your pack and how to basically survive out there if you are in trouble or something unexpected happens. Secondarily, just know the weather. If you're going out, check the weather, know what to anticipate, and then have a plan B. If something does go wrong, make sure that you have a way out, or again, back to the pack, make sure that you can survive safely for an extended period of time. Because a lot of people don't understand that search and rescue is not going to show up in 20 minutes. It may take a number of hours before you see us approaching you. And if it's cold out, that's a pretty dangerous situation.
Remember there used to be that TV show with, and it took place in New Hampshire and Maine. Some of the more successful rescues, do you ever film any of those?
Oh, are you talking about the Northwoods series? We don't generally. And as a team, we have a strict media policy.
Gotcha.
I mean, to be honest with you, this interview had to be approved by the membership, the board. Because we're not, we're agents of Fish and Game. So if anybody comes looking for information, we generally refer them to Fish and Game.
Got it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That makes sense. So
sure.
Jay, why don't you give out the website? This is really interesting, but I think you agree with me, Jay. Like, it would be great if there was a year where we didn't have to engage this group, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, there's always someone out there that just thinks they know the elements, and well, the elements change when you're that far away. Anything can happen, as Jamie's alluded to, and right. That's where the search and rescue team comes in. They don't want to do it; they have to do it. You know, then that's mm-hmm. just how it is. So, PEMISAR.org, by the way, PEMISAR.org is the website. As Jamie Bernard is the vice president of the PEMIJAWASSET Valley Search and Rescue Team. Go to PEMISAR.org for more information. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more of Northeast Delta Dental right here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. This is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm J-Dog alongside Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental. He's also the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this week's guest is Jamie Bernard. He's the vice president of the PEMIJAWASSET Valley Search and Rescue Team. You can go on PEMISAR, PEMISAR.org for more information, talking about search and rescue in the PEMIJAWASSET area, as well as before the break took place, was at Northwoods Law. They became TV stars in their own local right. But for Jamie's team and the like, they're not there to be media stars. And I'm not saying that other parts of Fish and Game weren't. It just happened. But it's this about awareness and getting out to the public about a search and rescue team such as this and the mission that they do. So I'll let you guys continue on about that and a lot more.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you, Jamie, and thank you for your board, the others, Fish and Game, and all the ways you had to run things up the flagpole to get this information up, because people do listen to this show. Mm-hmm. We have done shows on avalanche sensitivity. We've done a few shows on those, and it's really, I've gotten a lot of emails from, skiers who formerly would go off track and off trails, and, they now know better, or at least they now have some of the caution. So I'm really, I realize this, you don't want to be a media star, but I think getting that information out is so important. So what I'd like to do is review again the tips for safe hiking in that website that you alluded to. Let's start there, and then perhaps talk about, without revealing any names, so perhaps an intricate life-saving event that you've done. But let's start again with the tips for safe hiking.
Yeah, and I would suggest strongly just visit hikesafe.org and make sure that those components, whether it be a compass, extra clothing, food, water, that stuff is in your pack and you're ready to go just in case the unexpected happens. And there are so many missions that happen. And I mentioned mutual aid. Generally on searches, we find that most of the teams will coordinate together with Fish and Game to tackle. I mean, think of how massive the woods are here. You need bodies to cover the areas when there's a search. One search that comes to mind happened back in 2019. This is public information, really. You can look it up. There was a Dartmouth student that was ascending with an outdoor group from Dartmouth, and they were going up Mount Moosalak. And the student was turned around and just ended up heading down trail, went off trail, and disappeared for 3 days, I believe, right around Mother's Day. And this is early spring, so you know that the trails are still covered in snow. 3 days of ground search with all the teams, AFSAR, Mountain Rescue Service, New England K-9. We had the support of Army National Guard flying overhead, searching, trying to find this person. Long story short, 3 days later, he was found on trail, walking down, and he was barefoot, mildly hypothermic, and he was fine. And it was a wonderful Mother's Day, let me tell you that, because the family was...
Great Mother's Day gift there.
Can you imagine? I know, it's amazing, the coincidence there, but...
Might I ask how he got barefoot? Oh.
Well, generally, when there's snow, people are walking, they post-hole. If you don't have snowshoes on, your feet will crush through the snow and fall in up to, say, your knee or sometimes even your waist, depending on how deep the snow is. And when you pull your foot out or your leg out, your shoe is gone. It just gets yanked out by the snow underneath.
Yeah. Well, as a snowshoer, we put on a series called Snow or No We Go. And, you know, and the reason why we named it that way was because with New England weather being a little fickle, some winters you get a lot of snow and some you don't. And you put on the race and there's no snow, you use spikes. But I love running on snowshoes, so now I kind of understand how he lost his shoes. So sure. when there is, like, maybe that example or another example where it's multiple days and it's intricate and perhaps there are more than one agency taking responsibility, how do you, like, who takes the lead and how do you, like, who do you defer to? And if there's more than one agency?
Sure. We work under the incident command structure, which basically came out of the wildfires in the 70s. You know, you had all these agencies doing their own thing, and then it really got consolidated down to a primary lead agency. And in our case, that's Fish and Game. So they essentially tell us what our mission will be for the day. And then under that, you know, if PEMI is sent out to do a particular area of a search, we'll have a team leader within our group as well, managing our members. But it all goes back to Fish and Game. They set up the orders and the itinerary for the day or days, and we just follow orders. And generally, there'll be a Fish and Game conservation officer with us as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very well organized. I'm so glad our lives connected at the COG.
Oh, that was fun.
We'll definitely sponsor that race again. And just saw Joseph Gray recently, as a matter of fact, because we got him to come back to do the race to the top of Vermont, which, needless to say, he also won. Almost broke the record.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
And a couple years ago, of course, he beat the COG, the fast COG trail up, train up. So this is New Hampshire, so I always get this question. If I don't ask, I get it offline. Why didn't you ask him? How are the teams funded?
Oh, that's great. PEMI essentially works off of donations. And secondarily, there's an organization, which is a nonprofit here in New Hampshire, called the New Hampshire Outdoor Council. And they're basically an umbrella organization that accepts donations and will provide grant monies to the search and rescue volunteer teams here in the state for gear, for food, for events, for training, you name it. So they're fantastic. So if anybody is interested in donating, you can go directly to New Hampshire Outdoor Council. And what's great about that is they support all the teams throughout the state. And if anybody wants to donate to PEMI, you can do that on our website as well, PEMISAR.org.
So this is a good media for that. So PEMISAR.org, if you want to donate directly to this team, and then New Hampshire Outdoor Council. So when you have either, whether it's a quote-unquote simple rescue or a more elaborate one, what type of devices, walkie-talkies, cell phones, or whatever that you guys use to communicate with, you know, with each other. Hey, I found them, whatever, things like that.
It's a very interesting question because it changes with the topography and the terrain. Sometimes our handheld radios, which we use quite a bit, will work. Other times not. We use cell phones at times because for whatever reason, they'll work at times. We are looking at using GPS units now that actually allow satellite communication. So that should ease or eliminate the issues that we experience at times with communication. Other times, Civil Air Patrol will fly up overhead and provide a relay for us, you know, or a repeater is the technical term. So there's methods, and it seems to be getting worked out for the better at the moment, thankfully, with the technology that's coming down the line.
Did I date myself by saying walkie-talkie? I always found it interesting you know, I have never climbed Mount Everest, but I love reading books on it and the stories of, one of the hikers that died on the top, but he used a cell phone for his last words to his wife, and he's literally on the top of Mount Everest.
I remember that story.
Meanwhile, when I'm in Bo, I can't get any service. So it always amazes me, you know, that cell phones can sometimes, you know, do the trick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Believe it or not. I mean, it's amazing. It all depends. And like I said, it's just getting better, thankfully, you know, especially with more towers popping up for cell.
Well, we really appreciate your effort. So it's just a little time. So what one particular mission or intricate save that you were personally involved with without obviously identifying the person's name, what comes to top of mind for you?
Actually, it was my first mission, and I'll never forget it. I was so eager to help out and join and be a part of it. And when the first mission came, it was actually a recovery. And those happen. It's unfortunate, but that's life. And what stands out to me is when I was leaving, there was a grieving family member and a young child. And the young child was holding on to her leg. And you could tell that the child was just absolutely distraught. But as I was leaving, the individual saw the colors that we wear for the team. And she, just in a subtle way, she just nodded, you know, thank you. And it just melted my heart. And it just confirmed to me that this is a great way to give back to the community. And, you know, in that case, giving a family relief, knowing that their loved one was not up on a mountain, you know.
Quite moving. And I'm so glad our lives connected up at the COG.
Yeah, me too.
Jamie Bernard, Vice President for Pemigewasset Valley Search and Rescue. He's also a PT, a physical therapist at Jamie Bernard PT. And I bet you've had some hikers come visit you later for PT.
Yeah, I do not pass out business cards.
Oh, I know, but, oh my God, you look familiar.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Thank you for all the good works. And, you know, there's a lot of noise in society, but when I interview people like you that are, you know, connecting with humans, and that story you just told, it really does warm my heart. So, Jay, why don't you give out the website one more time, and we'll call it.
Okay. You got it. PEMISAR, PEMISAR.org is the website. And the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio is Jamie Bernard, the Vice President of the Pemigewasset Valley Search and Rescue Team. And again, PEMISAR, PEMISAR.org. And another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio wraps up. Fear not, we'll have another one at some point here on the Pulse of New Hampshire for Jamie Bernard, as well as Tom Raffio, the President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm J-Dog. We'll be back on the Pulse of New Hampshire with Northeast Delta Dental Radio.